Have you ever had your perspective shifted? A moment or perhaps a period of time in your life when your thinking got challenged in some way and you begin to look at the world or the life you live in a much different way. Maybe it was an event or perhaps a series of events that broadened your horizons, expanded your thinking, stretched your paradigms. Brandon Jackman had that experience. When he arrived in Haiti, his initial thought was to catch the first flight back out. But during that week, his perspective shifted. He no longer wanted to catch the first flight out. His horizon expanded. And when he returned to the States, he left a part of his heart in Haiti. Chelsea Thompson had her horizons expanded as well.
My name is Chelsea Thompson, and I've been attending Goodness Gathering for about 2 years. I went with the first team to Haiti earlier this year, and it was my first time going. The most memorable experience for me while I was in Haiti was during worship at the church service on that Sunday. Psalm 86:9 says, "All nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name." Hearing the Haitians worshiping God in their own language is something I've never experienced before. God says that all nations will worship him, and I never got the true picture of what that looks like till that moment. Even though I had no clue what they were saying, it was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever witnessed. In that moment, I didn't need to understand their language to know that they were worshiping God.
You know, watching our Haitian brothers and sisters in Christ worship will definitely broaden your horizons. Now, this month, we've been celebrating Good News Gathering's 20th anniversary. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been examining something that has really been a hallmark of the GNG family since the very beginning. It's something that kind of grew out of the way we got started with no paid staff, and everything was all volunteer, and we were in rented facilities. But it's something that's made this church tick. It's made it what it is today. And the whole title of this lesson series is just Go Serve. And one of our core beliefs has been that as individuals and as a church family, we're called to lives of service. We're called to this. As we go into our world, whether it's in our homes or our schools, our workplaces, or our communities, Christ calls us to serve our families, our classmates, our coworkers, our neighbors. And Jesus set the example for this when he said, what is our focus verse for this lesson series? It's coming up here on the screens. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what it says here. It says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then it uses this interesting phrase. It says, and to give his life. That's why in class 301, we talk about giving our lives in service to others. And so over the past 2 weeks, we've looked first at serving within our church family. And we've discovered that over the years, G&G has been blessed with a large number of highly dedicated volunteers who do an amazing ministry week in and week out. And there's a ministry here for everyone who calls G&G their church home. You see, we honestly believe that if God has brought you to Good News Gathering, and if you call this your church home, he has a place here for you to serve that will help G&G become the most effective church that we can be in fulfilling God's call on us. And then last week, we looked at the importance of serving here in our local area through outreaches like the Free Sales and Hillsborough Not As Usual. And you may have noticed when you pulled in the parking lot this morning that there are three dumpsters out there that are full. Filled again yesterday with stuff from Ward 3. You see, it was a great day yesterday because from 10 to about 2 o'clock, we had an opportunity to connect with people in Ward 3. And it was fascinating to me because we were helping people clean stuff out of their yards and off their porches and stuff like that. And some people had brought stuff out to the curb for us. And it was so cool because at one point, one of the women who lives there in that neighborhood came up to me and she said, "You know what? This is like the coolest thing I've ever seen." And it wasn't, you know, that we were just like, I mean, I don't know. It was interesting just to talk to this woman because it was like, it was almost like surprise that somebody had done something nice for her neighborhood. And it impacted her. And friends, today's lesson is entitled, "Go Serve in Haiti." Now, for the first 10 years of Good News Gathering's existence, we were not engaged in any ongoing foreign mission work. And to be honest, in the early years, we were just trying to survive, okay? And now, we sent some high school kids out on some different mission trips during the early days, but nothing as an entire church family. And so by 2007, the leadership team believed that God was calling us to expand our horizons, to shift our focus out beyond our church family, beyond our local community, to begin to think internationally. And you might be sitting there thinking, why? I mean, why would you do that? Why in heaven's name would a church in rural southern Ohio focus a considerable amount of resources and people on a partnership with a mission in Haiti, a part of an island located about 700 miles south of Miami, Florida? Why would we go serve in Haiti? And why would we encourage as many people as possible out of this church family to actually go be boots on the ground in Haiti? Why would we do that? Well, I'll tell you, friends, it all comes back to a passage of Scripture found in the book of Matthew. And this is a passage of Scripture which many of you are familiar with, but it's a passage of Scripture in which Jesus intentionally and deliberately shifts the focus of his closest followers. It's a passage of Scripture which formed the foundation for Good News Gathering all the way back in 1998. Now, Matthew is the first of four biographies of Jesus' life and ministry, which is found in the Bible. And they're going to bring the lights up right now because you've got an outline. If this is your first time, it's a white sheet with holes punched on the side. And it's got the scriptures we're going to be covering today and some fill-in-the-blanks that will help you follow along with this morning's lesson. Now, this story takes place and is very important for you to understand that when this story happens. It happens after the resurrection, okay? So Jesus is crucified in Jerusalem, and then he rises from the dead 3 days later, but he remains on the earth for 40 additional days. And the Bible records that he appeared to different people at different times on at least 15 different occasions after the resurrection. Five of those appearances occurred on the Sunday that he rose from the grave. But the Bible tells us this. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had told them to go." Now, in order to get a picture of what's going on here, Jesus has risen from the dead and he's told his followers to go to Galilee. Now, if you know anything about Palestine, it's going to come up here on this map. Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified, is clear in the south of Palestine. It's in an area of the country known as Judea. But Galilee is clear up in the north. It's about 60 to 75 miles on foot to get from Jerusalem up north into Galilee, depending on exactly where they went. And the question you got to ask yourself is, well, why would he tell these guys to go up north? I mean, why not just stay in Jerusalem? Well, think about it for just a moment. Galilee was where Jesus grew up, Nazareth. It's where his headquarters, his ministry headquarters was, clear up the top, a city called Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. So that's where he operated much of the first part of his ministry. It was where he was most popular. Most of his followers from there, almost all of the apostles, were what they called Galileans. Jesus had been crucified during the Passover, which was one of the most important religious festivals of the year for Jews. And many Jews would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend that festival. But not everybody could do it every year. They just couldn't afford it because you're taking a whole week off to travel down there by foot and then travel back the following week. Not only that, but those that did make the pilgrimage that year may have left Jerusalem before knowing that Jesus had actually raised from the dead. So Jesus tells his followers, his closest followers, those 11 remaining apostles, to go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Now it goes on to say this. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And it could be those who doubted were those that had not yet seen him alive. And they may have been shocked when all of a sudden he showed up on the scene. And the thing is, many scholars believe that this meeting on the mountain in Galilee is what the Apostle Paul referred to when he wrote this in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and that would have been on the day he rose. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And many scholars believe that it was this situation in Galilee on the side of that mountain where Jesus appeared to 500 of his followers at the same time. And think about that moment when all these people, some of whom had seen him before, some of the 11, all of them had seen him before, but many of these other followers probably had not. And here he shows up on the scene. And here it was in Galilee where they had first heard him speak about the kingdom of God. It was where many of them had their first dreams of an earthly kingdom, a political power, a restoration of the Israelite kingdom of the Old Testament with kings like David and Solomon. But now here they are on this mountain and they're seeing Jesus risen from the dead, and he challenges all of them. Those of them that had seen him before and those that had not, to broaden their horizons, to shift their perspective. Look at what he says. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whew. Think about that statement. This is either the most amazing or the most outrageous statement ever made. Think about what Jesus is saying. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who in his or her right mind claims to have that kind of authority? Sovereign authority in heaven and on earth? I'll tell you who. You got one of three choices. Okay? Either the apostles made this all up, and Jesus never really rose from the dead. Problem with that idea is that there are just too many witnesses. Too many people saw him. Well, there's another option. Jesus was just a human being, and he was lying. Somehow or other, he managed to get out of the grave after he got crucified and make it to Jerusalem, or make it to Galilee, and then he got up and said, all authority has been given to me in the heaven and earth, and he's just lying, or he's stark raving mad. What human being would ever say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Heaven? Really? Or perhaps there's a third alternative. You know, only God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, could ever say that. And it be true. if Jesus was telling the truth, he was who he claimed to be, and that was God in the flesh. So if you ever wonder why the GNG family goes, whether it's going here within our church family and serving each other or going out into our local community or going to Haiti, the first reason is because all authority everywhere has been given to Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, and God placed, circle these two words, all things. And God placed all things under his feet. All things, no exceptions. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over, circle these words, everything for the church. So God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So he's getting specific here about all who call themselves followers of Christ. He's saying he's the authority. He determines our purpose. He decides what it is we are to be and to do. He says who we are and how we're supposed to operate. And then Jesus says, therefore. Therefore. Now think about that word. He's saying, because I have all authority in heaven and on earth, because God has placed all things under my feet, because I'm the head over everything in the church, and I am the Lord of the universe, therefore, go, he says. Because of all that, because I'm the authority, I'm telling you what to do. Go. Move out. Take action. Do something. But what? He says, go and make disciples, followers. That's what that word means. People who are committed to becoming more and more like Christ every day. Not perfect, but giving it their best shot day in and day out. People who obey Christ and attempt to follow him. Go and make disciples. Who? Of who? Who? And I can imagine at this moment, these guys' jaws dropped. I can imagine there were people sitting in that crowd going, are you kidding me? Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And you can just hear Jesus saying to these guys, guys, think bigger. Expand your horizons. Shift your perspective. You thought Galilee was big? Galilee's not big. You thought Palestine was big? It's not big. Look out over this countryside. As you sit up on this mountain, look out across the countryside. This is just where you start. And I can imagine the people sitting there looking out as far as the eye could see and thinking, what on earth is he asking us to do? How is this even remotely possible? Most of us have never been any farther away from home than Jerusalem. And he's saying, go into all the world, all nations. And I can imagine their minds just, wow. This isn't a Jewish thing anymore. This isn't about some Israelite kingdom. This isn't limited to Palestine. This is worldwide. And you can imagine these guys just going, oh my word. But why? The Bible tells us Jesus died for the sins of the world. The whole world. And their perspectives begin to shift because the kingdom of God, now they're trying to wrap their minds around the idea that the kingdom of God cuts across all cultures, all races, all genders, all classes, all economic levels, and all languages. This is not a Middle Eastern thing. This is not a European thing. It's not an African thing or an Asian thing or an American thing. It's bigger than all that. You see, in this kingdom, there are no untouchables or unlovables who are unworthy of an equal place in the kingdom of God. This isn't about power or politics. It's about grace and service. It's not about who I am. It's about who he is. It's about Jesus, God in the flesh. And you can imagine these people's eyes kind of glazing over. And Jesus is like saying, you know what, boys? Never mind the enormity of the task. Don't worry about the staggering odds. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And the second reason the GNG family goes to Haiti is because Jesus commanded his followers to go everywhere and make followers. Go everywhere and make followers. That's what the word disciple means. And friends, if you call yourself a Christ follower, what you have to understand and what we as a church must understand is this is not the great suggestion. It's not. This is the great commission. Christians over the centuries have referred to this passage as the Great Commission. And that word commission is a military term signifying that someone has been given authority and they're under orders and expected to carry them out. Go everywhere. Make disciples. But what else? Jesus goes on. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And friends, when we're baptized into Christ, we confess our belief that there is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus said this very specifically, baptizing them in the name, that is not plural, that is singular. Baptize them in the name. Why? Because God is one. But he exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are one. And at baptism, we are given the name. We take on the name. We're Christians. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Notice the word there that makes all the difference. It says teaching them to obey. Obey. Disciples express their allegiance through obedience. But obey what? What are we supposed to teach people to obey? Jesus says, everything I have commanded you. In other words, the truth revealed by Jesus Christ, not human opinion. Everything. That doesn't mean you can leave stuff out. That doesn't mean ignore what you don't like. That doesn't mean don't sugarcoat stuff. Don't do that. Don't sugarcoat the stuff you think is hard. I remember teaching a lesson here not too long ago, and I mentioned that this was going to be a hard subject, and to some it might seem harsh, and somebody actually came up to me and said, then why did you do that? It's because he said it. It's really that simple. I don't have to like it. I don't have to feel comfortable with it. If he said it, I have to teach it because he said, teach them to obey everything. It does not say, teach them to obey what Jeff likes. Though sometimes I wish it did. And I can imagine these people sitting on that mountainside, gazing across the Galilean countryside, were wondering, I'm supposed to do this? I'm supposed to go out into all the world? How can I do that? And Jesus follows up with this statement. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I think it's fascinating that Jesus slips this in, the phrase, I am. Because I am was the name that God told Moses to use to identify him. Moses asked, "What is your name?" When Pharaoh asked me, "What God are you talking about?" He said, "You tell him I am sent you." And Jesus uses really in this statement the name of God, and surely I am with you always. Not I may be, not I could be, I am every hour of the day or night. There is not a moment when Christ is not with us. And when you think about it, when Jesus went back to heaven, when he came to earth, the incarnation, him becoming a man, limited him to space and time. And so when he sent his followers out into the world, he could not go with each one of them if he was limited by a physical body. But he dispensed with that body and those limitations, and he could be everywhere with his followers at all times because his Spirit came to live in us, the Holy Spirit. And with him, we have the power equal to the task at hand. And so the third reason the G&G family goes to Haiti is because Jesus is with us everywhere and at all times. Whether we're here in the U.S. packing rice and beans, or sponsoring a child, or it's in Haiti working with a medical team or a construction team or wherever it is you may be needed. Or maybe you're not called to go on the mission field, but Jesus goes wherever you go, into your home, here in your ministry at the church, at your work, in your schoolroom, across the back fence in your neighborhood. See, Jesus is with us everywhere we go all the time. And I wonder sometimes if we really believe that. Think about it with me, if you will, for just a moment. If you really believe that Jesus was with you all the time, are there some things you wouldn't do that you do now? If you really believe that Jesus was with you all the time, are there things that you wouldn't say that you say now? If you really believe that Jesus was with you all the time, are there places you wouldn't go that you go now? If you really believe that Jesus was with you all the time, are there things that you think or you watch that you wouldn't think or you wouldn't watch if you knew he was with you all the time? Let's flip that. If you knew Jesus was with you all the time, are there things you would do because you knew he was with you? Are there things you would say and times you would not remain silent because you knew he was with you all the time? Are there stands that you would take because you know he's with you all the time? What difference would it make in all of our lives and in our life as a church family if we truly believed Jesus was with us all the time? And what impact would that have on the world around us? You know, in 2008, Christ decided to expand G&G's horizons. We felt a call to partner with a foreign mission. And I'm not going to explain to you today exactly how we came about deciding to partner with the La Croix New Testament Mission. If you would like to know the ins and outs of that, we're going to discuss that this week on our podcast, our Digging Deeper podcast, and we'll go into the details of how we arrived at that decision. But we settled on the La Croix New Testament Mission, which was founded by Pastor Pierre in the early 1980s. And it's located in Haiti, and it's about 85 miles north of the capital. And the capital's called Port-au-Prince, which is down in the southern end of the country. And our mission that we serve with is right about midway up the center of the country. And we have worked with Pastor Pierre since 2009 was the first year that we actually put a mission team on site. And this morning, we have a very special guest here with us from the Laquan New Testament Mission, and his name is Pastor Evans, and he's going to come up, and we're going to talk with him for just a few moments. I want you to give him a warm Good News Gathering welcome, if you would, please.
Thank you.
Good morning, buddy. Now, I want you to get a really good look at Pastor Evans' face, okay? Because this is the face that I look for when we arrive at the airport in Port-au-Prince. Because you go into this airport in a foreign country, and most of the people either don't speak English, they speak Creole or French, and I don't speak either of those. And so I'm immediately nervous anyway, right? But I always am looking for Pastor Evans, because Pastor Pierre has sent him down to meet us at the airport for a number of years. And it's always my anxiety level goes down when I see your face. I want you to know that. But what I want to do, since this is really your first time here at Good News.
Yeah, first time.
What I want to do is I want to give the people a little bit of a background on you. Now, you went to a Nazarene seminary in Port-au-Prince, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you were in seminary for how many years?
3 years.
3 years, okay. Now, tell us how you met Pastor Pierre and how you got to the Laquan New Testament Mission.
Yeah, after my graduation in the seminary, I became pastor in Nazarene Church for 3 years. I was friend with another guy who is in the same seminary with me. He was pastor in New Testament Mission, and they invite me to preach a day in the church. After I was preaching, Pastor P invited me at his office, and he talked with me. He asked me a question. He said, "What do you think if I invite you to come here in New Testament Mission as pastor?" I said, "Pastor, let's pray." And after 1 year, I come back to him. I said to him, "I'm ready for that." He said, "I knew that."
Okay, so a friend of yours at the seminary hooked you up with a preaching assignment there.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Beer heard you one time said, "Why don't you come and be a part of this?"
This is in the 2000, yeah.
That was back in 2000. Okay. Yeah, 2000. And so you guys both prayed about it for a year.
Yeah.
And then you heard the call.
Yeah. Since then, I'm in New Testament, but in the beginning, I was responsible of the children.
Okay. So you started in children's ministry.
Yeah,
okay.
Children's ministry. And after he asked me to be pastor of the first church in the mission.
Okay, yes. So you were the pastor on site where we stay,
yeah,
right there in Laquan.
Yeah,
but that's grown now.
Yeah, it's growing, and I oversee other six churches and the mission.
Okay, so as the mission has grown, more churches have been developed.
Yeah,
six other churches, and you oversee all of those.
Yes.
Now you. There's actually a pastor on site in those other churches. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have other pastors, and somewhere this is a deacon, a leaders, some leaders, some other place.
Okay. Now you've been at Laquan for 18 years now.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And that mission, I mean, the total number of children who are involved in the schools and everything, it's risen to over 3,500. Is that
right? Yeah, 3,500 and seven locations.
Seven locations.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now each of those locations has both a church and a school?
Yeah, church, school. But only in La Croix, we have a clinic, and Paul, we have another clinic. So two clinics.
Two medical clinics.
Two medical clinics.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the things that has happened that's obviously created, or let's put it this way, it's obviously expanded your workload quite a bit, is Pastor Pierre has been struggling with cancer for the past couple of years.
Yes, he doesn't know if during this time, if the work will be down in La Croix, but God help us all the time to do the good thing. So we talk together often, Pastor Pierre and I, and I said always, don't worry, all things go very well. We have the mission. So when he hear that, so he's very glad.
Okay.
He's very glad. And
so he's been in Orlando and been in and out of the hospital quite a bit for the past well over a year. Mm-hmm. And you guys are staying in close contact by phone.
Yes.
But you're carrying on really the spiritual end of the mission. Mm-hmm. And you deal directly with all the mission teams that come on site. And then Pastor Pierre's son, Kirby, kind of works more on the business end or the administrative end, as well as his wife.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about some of these projects that you have been talking over with Pastor Pierre.
Yeah. 6 years ago, we had a great exodus in the country.
So okay. The Exodus is what they call it, which is people leaving Haiti.
Haiti to go to South America, Brazil, Chile.
Okay, Brazil and Chile is where they're heading. Okay.
So when Pastor Pierre heard that and he called me and asked me what we're supposed to do with that, and many young people leave the country. You know, a country without young people is a country, this country, no future for this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk with him about the trade school. So we're supposed to make options, many options in the trade school, like plumbing, masonry, electricity, welding, so thing like that. So young people can come and has a knowledge and there's options. So after that, this is a two false. I must do to say that this is two false for helping this country with this problem. Not only the trade school, but I think about two with a factory recycling, because anywhere in the country, Brendan said in his video, anywhere we have trashes.
Trash everywhere, yeah.
So when I look at, I see 80%, more than 80% in the trash are plastic. So we can, I think we can recycle plastic. So we give a little money to the people, and they give us the trash. So believe me, with that, I think Trash would be very precious for the people.
Okay. Okay, so you've got this exodus out of Haiti. And a lot of younger people are going there, a lot of men. I noticed that the last time we were down there when we went to church, the number of men in the congregation has really dropped off.
Yeah.
And it's just because they're not there.
Yeah, they're there and they leave, they seek job. So they leave the country.
Okay.
They leave the country. But the problem, I heard, according to some sources, I heard 85% of them, when they arrive in South America, they stay without nothing to do.
So they can't actually find jobs when they get to Chile or Argentina or Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. They come to come back. They think to come back. They want that, but they can't. They have the money.
They don't have the money to
pay
come back.
For coming back. So this is the real problem. So in the trade school for carpentry, the goal is to make in the mission a furniture shop.
Okay.
Yeah. So they will work. We will pay them, and we could send something, a cabinet.
Okay. All right, so one way of trying to deal with that problem is to give the kids that don't go on to college a trade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The kids and has successful in the school. We help them to go to university.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you help your top level students go on to the university.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we supposed to strengthening the scholarship. So we have in the mission more than 4 kids in the university. The mission pay for them. So we want to. To have more, so for sending more kids, we're supposed to have more money. So we want to have to strengthen the fund.
Okay.
For the
college. So you have like a scholarship fund that you help kids get to the university, the ones that are able to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But the trade school, you've talked about like mechanic work, plumbing. Electricity, carpentry,
welding,
dressmaking. Yep.
And the goal for dressmaking, we have 3,500 kids in our schools. So we could make uniform. We can give them a contract to make uniform.
Okay. Yeah. So the 3,500 kids that are in your schools, all the 7 schools, they're getting uniforms made by people in a trade school.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And the factory idea, this is a fascinating idea because if you can recycle the plastic trash, which like Brandon said is everywhere, you can then there would be a way you could actually give people jobs doing that.
Yes, this is the second fault. Jobs creation.
Mm-hmm.
So if with the factory, when we could make chairs, tables, or gallons, bottles, something like that for sending to other place, so it could be a very great help with us to us, so we could help the other people to find something to do.
Mm-hmm. You could solve a number of problems with that idea.
Yes,
that's okay. Now, I want to ask you about your own personal passion, okay? Because you have a passion for evangelism.
Yes.
Spreading the good news.
This is like a fire inside of me.
It's like a fire inside of you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why we have always crusade in the mission. We depress place by place. To do that.
Okay.
To do that for evangelism people. Many people doesn't come to Christ. So we want them, and I pray for 5 years or 10 years, 80% of the people in Lakwa can convert, can come to Jesus.
Okay, so God's put it on your heart.
Yeah.
To set this goal of reaching 80% of the population in Lakwa.
Yeah. And another way, after the crusade, I can touch many, many hearts, is a radio station. So I have this dream to have a Christian radio station and the mission.
Okay.
Yeah, and the mission, so you know, Lakwa has 15,000 people, and Lakwa is over the hill, and we had the valley. The valley has many, many, many people.
Okay, so there are 15,000 people in Lakwa, but in the valley that it's located, or that's over the mountain,
yeah,
there's like a whole lot more people.
Yeah, more people. More people, and they talk about close to 1 million.
Close to a million?
Yeah, yeah. The saline, Nistelle, close to Semak, they take about 1 million.
Okay, but in the town of Desaline, that's heavily voodoo. Mm-hmm. But you think you can reach them through radio? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
The radio will cover all these parts, Desaline, Lister, and the other place, and the valley, and the places.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really thrive on doing crusades, mm-hmm, in the different towns.
Yes.
And also going door to door.
Yeah, door by door. And it is one of my favorite to do when I go door by door, because I can fight all family.
Oh, you can reach the whole family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that in Paul. Paul is where there are many, many, many witch doctors. So one time I arrived in a big yard, and all people in the same family, all people, brothers, sisters, they are witch doctors.
Okay, so in the town of Paul,
yeah,
when you went there, there's a lot of witch doctors there.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my ministry, I have 3 witch doctors came to Jesus, 2 in Paul, and 1 in Lakwa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 witch doctors,
yeah,
so far have accepted Christ.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
And all the glory be to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the glory be to God. That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Evans, I just want to give you a moment to say anything that you would like to say to the GNG family.
Yeah, Pastor Pierre, I was in Orlando last week. Pastor Pierre asked me to greet all people and Good News Gathering. He said to me this is his favorite place. And you do a really good job in Lakwa. Your work is priceless. And Child Sponsorship Program, GNG is in the top. I heard it increased this morning.
Yeah, our child sponsorships increased this morning.
250 kids sponsored by GNG. Among all churches, choose to help the mission, GNG is in the top.
Oh.
So thank you. One thing Pastor Pierre says, this is every year you set 2 missionaries' teams to La Croix and back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he likes that, and I thankful for that. Thank you for wonderful job you choose to do in La Croix. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor Evans. Friends, on the back page of your outline, there's a box there that says, my next step this week. And I don't know where you are this morning. And perhaps where you are in your spiritual journey is you just need to discover what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if that's where you're at, just check that box on the back of your communication card. Or perhaps you heard Jesus today talk about baptism. And being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you're interested in being baptized or just find out more about that, check that box on the back of your communication card. Maybe you're kind of at a point where you don't feel like, you know, God's calling you to actually go to Haiti, but he'd like you to get involved in some way. And maybe the one way you could get involved is this week on Wednesday, we're packing rice and bean meals. Now, it's very important if you want to get involved in this that you go out and you sign up for that. Because we want to make sure that we have enough materials and enough supplies here for all the people that want to volunteer. Last year, we packed 25,000 meals in about an hour and a half, okay? Our goal this year, I think, is 29,000, and we need as many people to get involved as we can, but we need to know who you are so we have the material here, because we work with an outside organization to do this, and they bring in the materials, okay? Or perhaps God's calling you to sponsor a child in Haiti. For $20 a month, you can help kids at the La Croix Mission to have an education. And this is, I mean, you talk about a deal, friends. For $20 a month, they get an education. They get to go to school every day. They get a uniform, which they're required to have. And they also get one meal a day for sure. Okay? For many kids in Haiti, that one meal a day is not guaranteed if you're not in a school. And so, friends, it's a huge thing. You can sign up to get involved as a sponsor out at the extension table. Maybe you feel like God's calling you to at least check out what it might be like to be a part of a mission team that will go next January. As Pastor Evan said, we'd send two teams back-to-back weeks. If you want to know more about that, we're having a Q&A to carry in dinner this evening with Pastor Evans. He'll be here at 4:30. And this is for anybody that's been on a previous mission trip or those who are interested in going in the future. You can come and find out more about what that's like. If you're real interested in going but you can't make it today, on next Sunday and then again on June 10th in room 201, which is right over here and then the extension, Steve Patton will be doing an organizational meeting with anybody that wants to go. He'll have all the information about basically what it costs, the timetables, and also what kind of inoculations you have to get. All that information will be dealt with that day. So friends, let's remember what God has called this church to and what he called us to 20 years ago. He called us to go serve, whether it's within our church family or in our community or in Haiti. Let's do that. Let's go serve. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and for this opportunity that we've had to look into that thing that's known among Christian people as the Great Commission. Those instructions that you gave to your followers to go and teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything you have commanded. Father, we understand that cuts across every barrier that human beings create. Help us to be a church that cuts through barriers to bring people the good news of Jesus Christ. For this is our prayer in Christ's name, and we all agreed together and said, Amen.